Good morning. And welcome to Phelps. Try that again. Phelps Chapel. It is good to be with you this day as we glorify our God. Let us join in our call to worship. The Lord reigns, let the nations tremble. Great is the Lord in Zion, he is exalted over all the nations. Shall we pray? Almighty God, whose pillar of cloud and pillar of fire guided the Israelites of old, may your Spirit guide us. Guide us now in this hour of worship. As we present ourselves to you this day, may we echo the words of the psalmist. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. For this we pray in your most holy name, O God, amen. I turn now to my thoughts for the day, based on a passage from Matthew's Gospel, the 21st chapter, beginning with verse 12. Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouting in the temple courts, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. Do you hear what these children are saying? They asked him. Yes, replied Jesus. Have you never read from the lips of children and infants? You, Lord, have called forth your praise. And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, where he spent the night. May God truly bless our reading and sharing of his most holy word this day. Is it funny or is it offensive? A question being asked by many. To be honest, I, in the last year, have spent less time on the news. It just seems more emotionally relieving. I try to be intelligent and aware of what's going on, but I do not delve into the stories very often. It lessens my stress as I think of the things that are beyond my control and perhaps only can pray for. But it helps me to have a positive view. But as I began work on the sermon for this week, I checked the news headlines on Monday morning, and voila! There was my intro for my sermon. And as I perused the headline, I learned that of the events that unfolded after Chris Rock made a joke about the closely cropped hair of William Smith's wife, Jada. And as you may know, she has this condition, and so she has just shaved her hair. But at first, some shocked viewers, as they looked at it, wondered if it was some sort of skit, but they quickly learned that it was not. And then the articles that have followed this and the commentaries about it. Comedians who tell uncomfortable and sometimes offensive jokes for a living raise concerns about this precedent that Smith had set. But I thought, what a great segue for this sermon as we look at the Hollywood elite as they deal with things that even they find offensive. And we know that for years, the Christians and the church, and especially the Roman Catholic Church, has been the brunt of joke after joke. We've been fair game. But certainly in this age of offense, people find themselves more and more offended. Social media has fueled this fire hose, if you will. And the list is endless of what is viewed as offensive. And not only can we be offended, but we can be offensive in people's minds. And I can remember delivering a invocation once at an open event, and I invoked the name of Jesus. And a couple came up after me telling how deeply they were offended that I would use Jesus in my prayer. And so as a Christian, how do we respond? How do we minister in an increasingly more challenging atmosphere? And I'm not sure if that question is going to be answered today, but we're going to look at a situation in the life of Christ. And it was probably on Monday of Holy Week, Christ finds himself at the temple. This symbol of national identity and pride, the focus of the nation's religious life. And he enters the court of the Gentiles. This court was the largest area. And I suspect being the court of the Gentiles was the farthest from the center of Jewish faith. And perhaps the anger of Christ is aimed at the discrimination that is being given to these Gentiles. Gentiles, simply a non-Jew. And discrimination was very much part of the mindset of the Jewish thinking in those days. They were afraid of contamination by anyone who was a non-Jew. In the period some 300 years before Christ, the threat of contamination led the Jews to adopt an exclusive attitude towards non-Jewish peoples. They hated them. The word Gentile was equivalent to scorn. It was a synonym. Jewish people would not eat with them. They would not visit with them. And one university writing explained the relationship this way. The Jews' ethnic identity was grounded in the monotheism of a God who is called one to be a holy people, forsaking the idolatry of the Gentiles. A powerful mixture of fear of contamination and pride of divinely favored position works in the Jewish mind to create this prejudicial disdain, this revulsion for the idolatrous unclean Gentile. There is even a rabbinic saying that God created the Gentiles in order to stroke the fires of hell. It seemed that tension and prejudice were very much part of this. And in this court, we see it certainly displayed. There was a fence that separated the court of the Gentiles from going farther into the temple area. Stones were there written in Greek, threatening death to any Gentile who went any further than this court of the Gentiles. But they could worship in this court of the Gentiles, this open area. It was a large court, had trees that provided shade, and so it almost became a park for people to come in, to wander, to sit. So you had this physical barrier separating the ability of the Gentiles to worship any further. To compound it, it was a crossroads of streets, and so it was a thoroughfare, and you'd see people carrying things and taking shortcuts across this court of the Gentiles. And also, there were the tables of the money changers. The money that was given to the temple had to be in a certain script, and so you had people coming from all over the world bringing their scripts, not just Roman script, and it had to be exchanged. The problem is the religious aristocracy were in charge of this. So not only were they exchanging it, they were exchanging it at exorbitant rates. Also, you could buy animals to sacrifice. And again, the religious leadership had to put their stamp of approval, their USDA stamp, on these animals, if you will. Well, if you brought an animal from the outside, the chances are it probably could not have a USDA stamp. And so you were forced to buy animals inside at a much higher rate. So we have this bizarre-like atmosphere. People are buying and selling and haggling over these animals. People were being cheated. as they exchange their monies. People are carrying goods back and forth. Imagine trying to worship this morning in the sanctuary with some animal cages over there, some money tables over there, people coming in this door and going out that door, carrying all kinds of goods, other people sitting there under the shade enjoying themselves. What kind of atmosphere would that be to try to worship our God? It was any place but a place of worship. And the keen eye of Christ observed this. Mark's gospel tells us that Christ went from the great entry on Palm Sunday to the temple, and we read this. Jesus entered Jerusalem, went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything and departed. The next day he returned. It provided Christ, I think, an opportunity to ponder, to think about an appropriate response. But Jesus, as he enters into the court of the Gentiles, observes all that this is taking place, this bizarre-like, bizarre-like atmosphere. And he becomes enraged. He becomes indignant. He has this holy indignation. And he responds. Christ has gone out of his way to minister to the Gentiles. That is his history. The disciples witnessed it again and again as Christ tried to minister to the Gentiles. Matthew describes the event this way then, as it unfolds. He drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. Faces are filled with astonishment. I mean, imagine yourself witnessing this event. Everything is normal. Suddenly this man from Galilee comes in, begins to overturn the tables and rushes around and confronts these people. It would be something that would not soon be forgotten. The Son of God makes his point to these people. In the season of Lent, in our journey towards Good Friday, in our journey today as a Christian, the question I pose to each of us is, are we open to God's direction? Are we open to his making a point with us about any uncleanness in our lives? Any misdirection in our lives? And perhaps you and I should focus more on what we do that offends God than what other people do that offends us. As we ponder our relationship, and that's what we're called to do in the season of Lent, to examine ourselves. But as we ponder our own relationship, as we try to self-examine ourselves, may we also never forget our call to be in ministry, our call to serve. As we look at the rest of the story, it's interesting. It almost seems as soon as Christ cleanses the temple, as he makes his point about this travesty going on with the people, how the Gentiles are being discriminated, he turns again to ministry. We read, the blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. Here he is only days away from Good Friday. And what is his concern? Ministry. Ministry to the people. And the children shouted in the temple courts, Hosanna to the Son of David. He heals. The children respond. And what about the religious leaders? We read that they are indignant. They have been offended. Imagine.
Imagine that.
The Son of God speaking in their midst, sending a message, and they find themselves offended. Christ, I think, is demonstrating that life is not just dealing with offensive situations, but in people's needs. Noted author Warren Worsby in a book shares some insight about Will Rogers, who was raised a Methodist. Will Rogers was known for his laughter, but he was also known that he could weep. One day he was entertaining in the Milton Berry Institute in Los Angeles, a hospital that specialized in rehabilitating polio victims and people with broken backs and other extreme physical handicaps. Of course, Rogers had everybody laughing, even patients who were really in really bad situations. But then suddenly he left the platform. He went to the restroom. Milton Berry followed him to give him a towel, and when he opened the door, he saw Will Rogers leaning against the wall, sobbing like a child. He closed the door, and in a few minutes, Rogers appeared back on the platform as jovial as he was when he had left. The author continued, "If you want to learn what a person is really like, ask three questions. What makes the person laugh? What makes the person angry? What makes the person weep?" What we need today, he continued, is the kind of anguish that Moses displayed when he broke the two tablets of the law and then climbed the mountain to intercede. Or what Jesus displayed when he cleansed the temple and then wept over the city. Anguish is a broken heart. It's not easy to look at our sin. It's not easy to look at sin and to weep over it. So my concluding thoughts are, we need to be cautious about what offends us. And we need to respond appropriately as Christians. What is the Christian response to an offense? But I think also more importantly, what might I be doing that offends God? That is offensive to God in my thoughts, in my actions, and then to respond appropriately. Let us pray. Oh God, in this season of Lent, as we continue to make our journey, we pray for the moving of your Spirit. Guide us. Challenge us. Create in us a clean heart, O God. Amen.